Sherman at her home in Brookline, Massachusetts, April 23rd, 1993. Robert Brown, the interviewer. And I thought we might begin just talking about your childhood, your family background, some of your early memories, and then we can get on into your what became your principal career.
Oh, fine. In fact, once we start, it may be hard for us to stop, and you'll have to tell me if I...
I'll feel welcome.
If I
welcome that.
Share more than you wish to know. My childhood was in a wonderful, I remember it as wonderful, little town in southwestern Kentucky called Hopkinsville, which way back, as far as I can remember, had banners across the downtown streets saying dark-fired capital of the world, which meant dark-fired tobacco.
Oh, I see.
And it was a very prosperous little community in agricultural terms. There were perhaps five loose floors. That's where the tobacco is brought in and handled. And other industries, light industries, and mostly it was a town of people who had grown up in even smaller towns and were beginning to come into the city way of thinking.
And because Hopkinton was sort of a market center? Or?
Right, right. And it was the county seat of Christian County. With a lovely old courthouse, the building period of the town had been, I would say, those rather old town, the early buildings. But the time when it had grown had been between the middle of the 19th century and the arrival of the 20th century. Hmm. So there were lots, the courthouse and the important buildings tended to be of that period. Mm-hmm. Bethel Woman's College was there, and it was a magnificent building, which for lack of your kind of organization in the town, preservationist architectural groups, the town was a little too small to save itself from things like having somebody come along and say, Bethel Woman's College is too expensive to pay insurance on now, it's a fire trap, let's take it down and use the brick to build something else. Mm-hmm. So it was that size city. Mm-hmm. It had the substance with which to do wonderful, beautiful things. Mm-hmm. It didn't have the scale with which to guarantee that they would be maintained well as long as they might have been.
Mm. Well, was it in fact quite a prosperous area when you were
prosperous by what terms? Remember that my childhood was the Depression, the Great Depression, but I didn't know that it was happening. We lived, I thought, very comfortably. Now, looking back, I remember our favorite meals and so on, and I can see that they were all things which were, you know, quite a good value for the dollar. And I remember that everyone, regardless of what their status in life was, shared certain ways of buying and planning, which had to be economical. I'm just saying that back then we weren't paying for advertising, we weren't paying for lots of things that we pay for now in everything. Mm-hmm. No hidden costs. When Mr. Sims came up High Street in his wagon, pulled by his dear old horse, I've forgotten the name of the horse. Mr. Sims himself was maybe 85 in tattered country clothes, and he would get there usually by 8 in the morning, and he would begin to shout when he was a couple of blocks away. What it meant was he was shouting all the time, but I didn't know that. I thought, how does he know, you know, when it's time to start shouting? But he would yell out, you know, whether it's beans or apples or chickens or just what, that is the best buy. Berries, lots of berries. Mm-hmm. And everyone's mother, and you see life was so stable. Uh-huh. There was nobody, or if there was, you didn't know that person